Vanaand se woordverkondiging wat Dominee Mnisi aan ons gaan voorgaan, kom na aanleiding van Handelinge 4 vers 23 tot 31, dis die tekst. Maar voor ons dit lees, lees ons eers saam Johannes 15 vers 18 tot hoofstuk 16 vers 4. Johannes 15 vanaf vers 18. As die wêreld julle haat, moet julle weet dat hy my voor julle gehaat het. As julle van die wêreld was, sou die wêreld sy eiendom lief hê. Maar omdat julle nie van die wêreld is nie, maar ek julle uit die wêreld uitverkies het, daarom haat die wêreld julle. Onthou die woord wat ek vir julle gesê het, 'n dienskneg is nie groter as 'n heer nie. As hulle my vervolg het, sal hulle jou ook vervolg. As hulle my woord bewaar het, sal hulle jou woord ook bewaar. Maar al hierdie dinge sal hulle aan julle doen, ter wille van my naam, omdat hulle hom nie ken wat my gestuur het nie. As ek nie gekom en met hulle gespreek het nie, sou hulle geen sonde hê nie. Maar nou het hulle geen verskoning vir hulle sonde nie. Wie my haat, haat ook my Vader. As ek nie die werk onder hulle gedoen het wat niemand anders gedoen het nie, sou hulle geen sonde hê nie. Maar nou het hulle dit gesien. En toch het hulle my, sowel as my Vader, gehaat. Maar die woord wat in hulle wet geskrywe is, moet vervul word. Hulle het my sonder oorsaak gehaat. Maar as die Trooster gekom het, wat ek vir julle van die Vader sal stuur, die Gees van die waarheid, wat van die Vader uitgaan, sal hy van my getuig. En julle getuig ook, omdat julle van die begin af met my is. Hierdie dinge het ek vir julle gesê, sodat julle nie mag struikel nie. Hulle sal julle uit die sinagoges ban. Ja, daar kom 'n uur dat elkeen wat julle aan die lewe bring, sal dink dat hy 'n diens aan God bewys. En dit sal hulle aan julle doen, omdat hulle die Vader nie ken nie en my ook nie. Maar hierdie dinge het ek vir julle gesê, sodat wanneer die uur kom, julle kan onthou dat ek julle dit gesê het. Maar ek het julle dit nie van die begin af gesê nie, omdat ek saam met julle was. Tot sover, kom ons bly verder na Handelinge 2. Handelinge 2 vers 1 tot 13, waar dit gaan oor die uitstorting van Heilige Gees. Het reeds van die belofte van Jesus ontvang in Johannes 15 vers 26 en na mag ons lees dat het ook dan gebeur het. Handelinge 2. En toe die dag van die Pinksterfeest aangebreek het, was hulle allemaal eendragtig by mekaar. En daar kom skielik uit die hemel 'n geluid soos van 'n geweldige rukwind, en dit het die hele huis gevul waar hulle gesit het. Toe is deur hulle tonge gesien soos van vuur, wat hulle self verdeel en op elkeen van hulle gaan sit. En hulle is allemaal vervul met die Heilige Gees, en het begin spreek in ander tale, soos die Gees aan hulle gegee het om uit te spreek. En daar het in Jerusalem Jode gewoon, godsdienstige manne, uit elke nasie wat onder die hemel is. En toe hierdie geluid kom, en die menigte saamgestroom, en was in die war, want elkeen het gehoor, hoe hulle in sy eie taal spreek. En hulle was allemaal verbaas en verwonderd, en sê vir mekaar, is allemaal wat daar spreek dan nie Galileërs nie? En hoe hoor ons hulle elkeen in ons eie taal, waarin ons gebore is? Parters en meders en Elamiete en die inwoners van Mesopotamië, Judea en Kappadosie, Pontus en Asie, Frigie en Pamfilie, Egypte en die streke van Libië by Sirene, en die Romeine wat hier vertoef, Jode en Jode genote, Kretense en Arabiere. Ons hoor hulle in ons eie taal oor die groot dade van God spreek. En hulle was allemaal verbaas en radeloos, en sê die een vir die ander, wat kan dit toch wees? Maar ander het gespot en gesê, hulle is vol soet wijn.
The text for this evening is Acts chapter 4 and then verse 23 to 31. Acts chapter 4 from verse 23 until verse 31. And as we make a way again to our text, I'd like to take this opportunity to greet you, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and from verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God in boldness. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word. Immediately after the preaching of God's word, we will respond from Psalm 2 and verse 1, verse 2 and verse 6, Psalm 2, which is also quoted in our text, Psalm chapter 2, and then we sing there verse 1, verse 2 and verse 6 as a response to God's word. I give you some time for the peppermint. By way of introduction, brothers and sisters, what an amazing thing we read in our text. God the Holy Spirit demonstrates his presence with an earthquake, as we have read from verse 31. After they've prayed, the place where they were was shaken, and they all speak the word of God in boldness. I believe that this was not something catastrophic, but rather a gentle quake, only in the place where these believers have gathered. In this text, we are reminded of several events in our redemptive history. Mount Sinai shook as evidence that God was present. The doorpost of the temple in Isaiah's version shook because God was present. The ground shook at Christ's resurrection because God was present, working in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Put it together, the ground shaking, the house shaking, as indication that God is present. And in our text as well, God, the Holy Spirit, demonstrates his presence with a gentle quake. But do we ever see such demonstrations today in our churches? After praying, do we ever have a feeling of the presence of God in our midst, like these believers? Or are we some kind of maybe second-grade Christians compared to the first-century believers? Or maybe we are always guilty of quenching God, the Holy Spirit. It is almost the same as what we have read also in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Again, I ask the question, why do we not see such demonstrations of the Holy Spirit today like the first century Christians? Maybe it is different here in Pretoria, but in Nalmapias, where I minister, we do not also experience such demonstrations. Even though we sing, clapping hands, and at times also standing, dancing in our worship, we never experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as did the first century believers. There are those who openly say that we still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I say to this that this is the greatest error of all. It is true that the Holy Spirit revealed himself in the first century believers in a unique way. But that does not mean that we do not have the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that he doesn't dwell in our hearts. This can never make us second-grade Christians, because there can never be such. Dear congregation, the most powerful tool of God, the Holy Spirit, it is the proclamation of God's word and not the supernatural signs. The latter is important, as we will later see, that these Christians also prayed for that. But it is the proclamation of God's word we hear about in our text, the preaching of the gospel. And I preach to you, God, the Holy Spirit, answers the prayer for the proclamation of the gospel. God, the Holy Spirit, answers the prayer for the proclamation of the gospel. And three things we shall consider together. Firstly, I would like us to consider the reason for this prayer, the reason why did they start praying. And secondly, the way the prayer started, how they started their prayer. And in the last place, the main request and its answer, the main request, what they were asking from God and how the Lord answered them. The reason for this prayer, brothers and sisters, boys and girls and young people, our text actually starts in chapter 3, where Peter and John were going to the temple for prayer. There they met a man who was crippled from birth, and he asked them for money. It is very surprising that this man did not ask them for a cure. It seems that he has already long given up on that and has accepted his condition. Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The man was healed at that moment. Let me read the following about the man who was just being healed. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That is verse 8 to 10. Then Peter took the opportunity to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while Peter was preaching, we read the following, as he was continued to preach, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Dear congregation, notice that Peter and John were seized because they were proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ in verses 2. Please take note also again that in verses 4, the people believed because they heard the words of Peter and John, and not merely because of the miracles. The miracles were important to draw the attention of the people, but it is the facts of the gospel, which the Holy Spirit used through Peter and John to change the lives of many people. The 5,000 men we hear about in this day, plus those in the day of Pentecost, it is only the facts of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Miracles are important to draw the attention of people, but it is only, the facts of the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here, he performed many miracles like no one else. There's no one in the history of the world who performed miracles than our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people followed him because they wanted to see miracles. But when he turned and started to teach them the facts about the kingdom of God, they left him. I'm here reminded of the feeding of the 5,000, what we read in John chapter 6, and specifically there, verse 66. John 6 there, and verse 66. People left Jesus when he started to say, "I am the bread of life," and they deserted him. It was for this reason that Peter and John were arrested by the priest and the Sadducees. The fact that they preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We further read in chapter 4, that after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. It was after their release that Peter and John went back to their fellow believers. They told them everything that the chief priests and the elders have said. After hearing this, they raised their voices in prayer from verse 23 to 24. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason for this prayer. You will see later that the chief reason of this prayer was that they speak the word of God, that they spoke the word of God boldly. These believers came together for prayer because they wanted to see and experience the spread of the gospel They wanted to carry the mandate of what Christ has commanded them to do in Matthew chapter 21, going to all the world, proclaiming the gospel. What are the reasons for prayer as the Church of God here in Pretoria? What are the reasons for prayer in our daily devotions and in our respective homes? We need to pray with the focus of the whole work of God, or the redemptive perspective in that manner. I do not want to waste time on this, but there are things also that we can be thankful for in our prayers, and that we should always come to God in a prayer of thankfulness. As the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philippians, "Do not be anxious of anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we come to God in prayer, we should also be thankful because of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us much more than we need. God has given us the best gift in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life. Let us move to the second point and see how this prayer started. How did this prayer of these believers in Jerusalem started? It is amazing to see how these believers started their prayer. The reason why they went to the Lord in prayer is because they were given threats. They were barred from proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They begin their prayer by filling their minds with the divine sovereignty. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Verse 24, they fill their minds with the divine revelation of God by quoting from Psalm chapter 2. There they said, "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nation rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Then in the third place, they applied the psalm to Christ and later to their current situation. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. One commentator observed that this is the way the early Christians viewed God. They knew him as the God of creation. They knew him as the God who revealed himself also well in history. You can note this in these three verses when they addressed God. They say in verse 24, "you made." They say in verse 25, "you have spoken." They say also in verse 28, "you decided." God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke, God revealed himself, and everything in this world doesn't happen by chance. God has decided. Brothers and sisters, this is how these believers started their prayer. They did not start by telling God about their situation, but they started telling God about who God is. He is the creator. He is the one who revealed himself, and is the one who controls history. When I listen to prayers of many people in our country, prayers also, especially where we minister, people, it's almost as people are praying like they are in a supermarket. I think we have a tendency of starting our prayers with our situation, with our needs. We forget at times to adore God, his goodness in our prayer. Dear congregation, our prayers should start with God. They should also end with Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that when we pray, we do not say, "Give us today our daily bread." This is important, and it must be said in our prayers, but it is not the first thing. We begin our prayer by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We start like these believers in our text. We begin by adoring God for who God is, acknowledging his greatness, acknowledging what God has done. He is the creator. He is the revealer. He's the one who sustains everything. When we do house visits in Nelmapias, we often ask people if they have time for prayer and reading the Bible. Many people admit that they do pray in the morning and maybe in the evening, a short prayer before I go to work, to school, a short prayer before I sleep, but they frankly admit that they do not read their Bible. You can never pray effectively to God without understanding His will. You need to read the Bible in order to pray. I know that many people read the Bible here in Pretoria, especially after or during meal times. I hope this tradition still continues. It is a good thing, and I like it. But I want to submit to you, dear congregation, that your prayers will not be fruitful if you do not understand the will of the Lord. I don't have the quotation here, but when Spurgeon was asked what is important, is it reading the Bible or prayer? Spurgeon replied, "I ask what is important, is it breathing in or breathing out?" And reading the Bible and also prayer, they go hand in hand. Brothers and sisters, these believers knew what was happening to them. God allowed it. They could understand that God had allowed what is happening to them. They knew that God spoke about it through the Psalms. That is the reason why they started their prayer in this way. We read from the Gospel of John. There our Lord Jesus Christ prepared his disciples for this situation. We read the following words in John 15, verse 18 to 21. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me." John 15, verse 18 to 21. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lots Day 12, says that we share in Christ's anointment to be prophets, to be priests, and to be kings. In the section of the prayers of these believers, they are praying like prophets. They took a word of God and applied it to their situation. That is like the prophets of the Old Testament. Whenever they came to the people, they always used the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." They understood the will of God, and they brought the will of God to the people. These believers in Acts understood all this because they have received the Holy Spirit, as we have read from chapter 2. This is the reason they are not praying that God would bring fire from heaven, or that they are not praying that God would bring the last judgment. These believers pray that God would enable them to preach the gospel, that God would give them boldness to go to the world to preach his message, that they might not be silent, but this is the time that the gospel is to be heard as we live in the last days. Brothers and sisters, these Christians pray that God would enable them to speak his word in boldness. And this brings us to the second and the third and the last point, the main request and its answer. the main request of this prayer and its answer. The main request and its answer is found in verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. This was the mandate given to them by Christ. They did pray for miracles in verse 30, as we read there, stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is amazing. We know from chapter 5, verse 12, that the apostle performed many miraculous signs and wonders. We read there, the apostle performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in the Solomon colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added in their number. As a result, people brought the sick in the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirit, and all of them were healed. They did miracles. How are we to understand all this, dear congregation? First, I want to disagree with those the sensationalists who declare that miraculous era has passed, as though God cannot do miracles today. We cannot say no to God. The miracles and wonders in the Bible were for a certain purpose. The gospel was crossing boundaries from Judaism, well, to the world, to the Gentile world. Miracles were necessary then, for the gospel was crossing boundaries. The miracles were there for a specific purpose. It was God the Holy Spirit demonstrating his power through the apostles. But the more you continue with the book of Acts, the less you hear about miraculous signs. The more you continue about the New Testament itself, well, the less you hear about the miraculous signs. You hear more about the gospel being proclaimed all over the Mediterranean world, especially by the Apostle Paul. We read in the last two verses of this book, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who come to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul taught the kingdom of God. It was about the proclamation of the word of God. In the letter to Timothy, Paul wrote, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Paul himself, the great apostle, left someone sick. Yes, even he, the apostle Paul, did not do miracles at will. It was God using the apostles, and it was for the sake of the gospel, well, to spread to all the world. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the main request of these believers. They ask that God will give them boldness, not to be quiet, but that they might speak his word. Having said that, I still do believe that miracles happen today. We can never say no well to God. Brothers and sisters, it is a miracle that we are alive today. In the midst of this great pandemic that has attacked the world, it is a miracle that we are still here today. Many people have passed, and many still are dying today. It is by God's grace that the Lord has kept us. Brothers and sisters, it is a miracle when you have a headache and you take a painkiller, you take something for your headache, and then you are healed. I trust you get my point. God uses this means we have, be it doctors, medication, to bring healing to us. Thus, it is important that we do not put our trust in medical aid and so on, but that we trust and give thanks to the Lord. It is the preaching of the word that God answers in this prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and speak the word of God boldly. In this way, these believers prayed like priests. They were sacrificial in their prayer. They knew that there are people who must hear the gospel. If they decided to keep quiet and submit to the threats, how could we come to know the good news today? Dear congregation, it's not only the time to bring the proclamation of the complaints before God. You need to have the redemptive purpose in mind when you come to prayer. We are not only bringing complaints, but we need to have the whole redemptive perspective in mind. Think of other believers. Think of non-Christians in your family. Think of non-Christians at your work, at your workplace, wherever you are, where God has put in you. Put before the Lord this sacrificial prayer. We shouldn't think that we are second-grade Christians because there are no supernatural things happening in our churches. We also should not think that God, the Holy Spirit, does not dwell in us because of the difference in which he came to the apostles and in which he dwells to us today. And in the last place, I want to encourage you to continue to speak the word of God boldly. We witness a lot of decline of faith in this country and around the globe. We need to pray like these believers that God would give us boldness to speak to our family members, to speak to our friends, to speak to our colleagues. We depend upon God the Holy Spirit, like these believers, because the work of God, it is in the hands of God. In verse 31, these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. It does not mean that they didn't receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, but simply that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. For a special work, brothers and sisters, for the special work of God, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that we have not received the Holy Spirit, but for a special work of God, for the proclamation of God, for doing God's work, we can ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5, verse 18. He says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. For the special work of God, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be it mission work, be it evangelism, or any other work. And in this way, we share the anointing and the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ as we proclaim the good news of his kingdom. And may the Lord give us boldness as his church, in our families, in our spheres of life, that we continue to pray that his word might be proclaimed in this world we live in today. Amen.